Okay, we left off yesterday trying to figure out what the source for this did was that most of the Rishonim assume that Mazik is Hekdesh is Potter Legamri. It doesn't matter whether your animal's Mazik Hekdesh, it doesn't matter whether the animal's Mazik Hekdesh through Shein Veregel, through Karen, with the other Mazik Hekdesh, you name it. But Hekdesh is the recipient of an act of Hezek, so there's automatically going to be a Ptur. That was a simple reading of the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Tes in the days. Now, truth to be told, we mentioned Rabbeinu Yeshaya, one of the Rishonim, comes from Beit Hasan, a different way of reading the Gemara, but we're going to go down the Ikvos, Rashi, and tell you just that the Gemara really meant what it said, that Mazik is Hekdesh is Potter. The problem was, Benar Nemila, where did this come from? So whereas Rashi, both in Daf Tes and Asugya, and then earlier on Daf Avim Beis, said that it's very, very simple. Very, very simple source. No Chochmas, no Nundas. Sure, Re'eyuk's here. Torah says Re'eyu comes about as Hekdesh, and that's it. That's the model for all of Mazik is Hekdesh Potter. So notwithstanding the simplicity of Rashi's shot, it seems to be a very difficult shot, because just to say that Shorei A serves as the model for all of the Hezek, Shorei A was talking about Shortam, he's talking about Karen, and just because something is potter on Karen, how do you know to extrapolate from there to Eish, to Bor, to Adam, to Shein Veregel? Shore of Karen is by definition much more kal, because it only has Chatzin Hezek anyway for Shortam. So how in the world could you use that as the springboard for all of Mazikin? So that was Tosfos' problem. It was that kasha that led Rabbeinu Yeshaya to the radical conclusion that the din is not true. But we mentioned at the end of the show yesterday, Tosfos sticks to the conventional wisdom. Tosfos' view is like Rashi l'halacha, that Mazik is Hekdesh is really Potter. But Tosfos said Rashi's source, or Shorei, was not going to do the trick. So what is a source? So Tosfos starts to find you one source, and another source, and another source, put together the grandiose Bekiyas Rav Bakama, and put together three different sugyas, and said it's these three sugyas that all point in the same direction. These three sugyas ultimately all combined together. So one was, who remembers what were the three? What were the three sources? One is Shoreiu, that's the pasuk of Karen. What was the other pasuk? Bor. There's a funny mocha by Bor, right? Vameis, right? Vameis Yalo, Bechulei, which is really the source of Tzulei HaBakdashim, but Kavachon extends to real kachim. So we have Karen, we have Bor. And then Tyson was looking for the grand finale. What was the grand finale? Yoichal Prat, Ki Yoichal Prat, Bechulei, Prat, Lamazik. And that was the source by Adam HaMazik. Then we had to touch up that Gemara a little bit, because the Gemara wasn't even talking about Hekdesh. The Pasuk wasn't even talking about Hekdesh. The Pasuk happens to be talking about Truma, but we said, Truma, Hekdesh, come on, it's all the same thing. Not really. But there's Xer Shabbat, Chet, Chet, the Truma, and all the Didim carry over. And that was what we did yesterday. So we left, we have three Mekayrus, we're good to go. So Tosfos sounds like the most convincing of all the Rishonim, a combination of Karen, Bor, other Mazik. What could possibly go wrong? What Mazik out there could possibly not be derived from a combination of these three? I ask you, Rabbi, say, what Mazik could possibly not be derived? You tell me. Shein. Shein's a disaster. Why? Because you have to go Chazah back to Daf Gimel. Shein has a certain characteristic that none of the above have. And what is that? It's Yesh Hanol HaZeka. When an animal eats, it enjoys what it's doing. And the Gemara assumes that Hanol is a Svarat HaMechai. It's an interesting idea. That if I had two cases out there, one case where I just destroy something, and one case where I eat it and I really, really enjoy it, which would you think I'm more chayav for? So the Gemara has an interesting idea that the Hanah part is more of a mechayav. Hanah in and of itself is more of a mechayav than just some wanton act of destruction. Anyone think that's a chiddush? It's a Gemara, but anyone think that's a chiddush? I thought it's a big chiddush. That I have to pay for the fact that I'm nana. There is a sugya in the second bracket in Bava Kama that tells us that Shein b'shus harabim is potter, that we all know, everyone knows that, a beer b'stei achir. But the Mishnah says, by the way, if your animal eats the other fellow's carrots in the middle of the street, you're not going to have to pay for mazik. What are you going to have to pay for? Hanah. The Mishnah says, Mishalem is mashenenes. You all have to pay for Hanah. So you see from that din, Mishalem mashenenes, that Hanah is a fact. Hanah is something you have to reckon with in halacha. The mere fact that I and my property is benefiting from your property, that in and of itself is an engine to drive me to have to pay. So how much more so when there's an act of hezek that involves Hanah, and there's an act of hezek that doesn't involve Hanah, but the act of hezek that involves Hanah is a more of a mechayim, it's a more of a svarat mechayim. So Tosfos gets themselves into trouble, because Tosfos says, the common denominator of Karen, Bor, and Adam HaMazik is that there is no Hanah. There's no Hanah. So So just because the Torah is mekil and says that you don't have to pay for being mazik hekdesh, and true, there's a pasuk that says keren is part of hekdesh, and true, there's a pasuk that says bor is part of hekdesh, and true, there's a pasuk that says other is part of hekdesh. But how do you know? How do you know to extrapolate the shein? Because after all, shein is yesh hanol hazeko. So about square one. Now we know that it has to be potter. How do we know? How do we know it says tells that shein must be potter? Because what was the original Gemara? What Gemara? What Gemara says that shein is basically potter and hekdesh? That was Rabbi Akiva. That was the sugya that we spent analyzing yesterday. That was the Gemara that Rabbi Yeshaya put a spin on and turned upside down on its head yesterday. But according to the simple reading of the Gemara on the Vav Amabez, the chain is potter. Tosis asks back to square one, Menohanimi Lee. How do you know? So Tosis succeeded in taking us to a trip to Bavakamba Mitzia, dug up three psukim, took a pasuk about Sugya Magdashin, and said, oh yeah, Kabachamil Hektish. Took a sugya post to talk about Truman. So, by the way, let's talk about Hekdesh. Turned the whole world upside down and created three psukim, and then Tosfos says, fall short. And Tosfos says, we still don't know. How do you know the original source, the original problem we haven't solved? How do you know that Shane is Potter and Hekdesh? So, Tosfos tries to touch this up in the Vav and Beis. And what does Tosfos finally conclude? That the three sources are going to do the trick. Why? Why the three sources are going to do the trick? Because when you have to measure Shane against Adam, so give me some reasons why Shane is more chayah than Adam. Give me a reason. Come on, give me the reason. That's enough. On the other hand, give me a reason that Adam is more chayah than Shane. Oh, come on, because you're a guy. You did it with Kavani. You smashed the guy's window. Come on. That's much, much more of a mechayev, right? So comes Tosfos and says, true, that Shane has the characteristic of Hanah. But that quality of Hanah pales in comparison to that which Adam has going for it. Adam's got a lot more going for it to be Chayiv. Adam is an Adam, a Mazik. It's much more logical, much more established to be Chayiv. And therefore, don't ask me a kasha of Hanah. So Tosfos basically, his mom is walking his tightrope, trying not to fall off. Tosfos says, yeah, it's true. I know that Ein Hanah is there. I know. But Tosfos just told us a favorite rule. It's true that these three have no Hanah and Shane does. True, but what?
Irrelevant
because Adam is just an Adam and you can't argue with Adam and Mazik. That's just the ultimate Mechayev and still it's Potter. Zeman Fendor that Mazik is Hektish is Potter. This was a long crisis. It took us half the year yesterday, first 10 minutes today, but at least we finally got it. So we have three approaches in the Rishonim to this dilemma. Where did this din of Mazik Hektish come from? It's a Mishnah that Tesla made. That's how we're starting it. Tesla is a Mishnah. Mishnah says the Chosim Shem Rem Ila, i.e., Mazik is Hektish is Potter. Where did it come from? So Rashi said, simple Shuri Eyun and call it a day, problematic. Tosfos says, complicated. Complicated. Rook on a fancy Shmansi Drasha. And Rabbi Yeshaya said, the Kasha is better than the Teretz, the Taka is no Mokar. And reread the Gemara in the Vav Beis, he never really said it. But again, most of the Rishonim said that it did really say it, and these are the different occurrences why it said what it said. Yeah. Tosfos said that if Madach Adam is Potter, Kiyach HaPrat LaHektesh, so Kal V'Chomer, Shane's going to be Potter, even though Shane has that little bit of a quality of Hanah, but that quality of Hanah is just not as powerful as Adam.
What's the powerful part of Adam?
Adam's a mazik, he's a batas, he's the guy, he's the man himself. If I'm responsible, for my animal that eats, Kal V'Chomer for myself, that kind of stuff. Yeah, okay. You're too long for me. I'm like more emotional guy, got the picture. Rabbi Sai, so the sugya would pretty much end at this point. We have Emekairis, we have Rashi Shita, we have Toiz Shita, Rabbi Nishai Shita, and we kind of call it a day. Except, Rashi decided to tell us something else. Rashi and Avav decided to tell us a Lishnah Harina. A whole nother ballgame. Rashi is talking a different language, Lagamre. And Rashi is trying to solve the same dilemma is how come the Gemara didn't simply say Shor A was by Keren and Rabbi Kiv Rabbi Shmuel talk about Shane Varegel. That's how the whole sugya started in Avav, right? We're learning Daftas, but we're learning it through the eyes of the Avav that the Gemara made a jump and said, what? Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, what are you talking about? Mazik Hektish is Chayav. What? Crazy. I can't believe you dachid. Shore Eyuksiv. So Rashi, on the Vav Amabez, goes down an entirely different path. Lishna Charina, to try to explain to you why the Gemara didn't want to say change regal is different and finished. Rashi makes a startling observation. Anyone saw the Lishna Charina Rashi? Anyone read it carefully? Anyone knows what it's talking about? Who here read the Lishna Charina Rashi? Who here really, really understands the Lishna Charina Rashi? Good, I'm glad that no one understands. I'll put my hand up also. Oh, comes Rashi and says, Lishna Charina. Lachi nokat shor hektish, v'lo mukla b'chilz b'hem tel sad hektish, v'shum d'lo mishkachas lo. Says Rashi, I'll tell you exactly why the Gemara didn't even entertain the possibility of an animal devouring food from a stay hektish. There's no such thing as a stay hektish. End of discussion. It doesn't exist. So when you just read that Rashi, the Lumishkacha, what would your initial reaction be? What would you think about that statement? There's no such thing as a stay hektish. It doesn't exist. You'd scratch your head and say, why doesn't it exist? I have a field. I raise a hektish. Isn't that a stay hektish? Like, what is Rashi talking about? And then if I would want to be a little bit more sophisticated in my question, I may remember that there's a parasha called Parshas what? Bichl Kosai, where half of the parasha speaks about being makdish fields. The Torah speaks about being makdish your ancestral field, to be makdish your stay mikden, when it goes up a yevil and go this, it goes to stay achir. There are 30 psukim, okay, not 30, 10 psukim, the end of Parshas Kosai, to speak about every different scenario of being makdish, every possible piece of real estate under the sun, and Rashi starts up by saying there's no such thing as a stay hektish. So Rashi qualifies what he says. It says, I didn't mean to say there's no real estate hektish. Let me explain to you what I mean. And then Rashi quotes himself, quotes all of Rashi B'chakosai, and he also was not said with Rashi's. And Rashi says, let me just highlight to you every possible case of what you think a stay hektish, is, and I'm going to show you why it's not a good case. Again, we're looking for this phantom case. What we are searching for now in the Vavam Abayis is a case. We're looking for what happened. Something is missing in action here. We're looking for a case of an animal that is walking on a field. Okay, and the field has a lot of stuff growing in it. The animal's eating it. And this field belongs to hektish. That's the case. It's missing in action at the Vavam Beis. It wasn't mentioned by Chazal. So everyone, all the Rishonim have to figure out why it wasn't mentioned. So Rashi has a Lishna Charina. I'll tell you why it wasn't mentioned, because it doesn't exist. So Rashi doesn't exist. Let me explain to you why. So Rashi goes case by case. Rashi says, the Istei Cheirem, Pasuk describes in Parashat Kosai, a person declares that his field is a Cheirem. That doesn't mean that it's excommunicated from Klai. So that's what Cheirem means. It means he's giving it as a gift to Dava Kadosh. Cheirem is a Lishna of Kadosh. So maybe that's the case of a Sadish like that. She declares that the Sad is Cheirem. Rashi says, nah. Look, what do you do with the Stei Cheirem? Who does it go to? It goes to the Kohen. Once it's given to the Kohen, does it have any Kedusha to it, Bechlal? It's a Kohen's field. It's Mr. Kohen's field. So if Reuven's animal eats up the fruit of Mr. Kohen's field, he has to pay Mr. Kohen. So there's no Beis HaMikdash here anymore. So that's not the Stei Hektish of that we're dreaming of. Or let's say a person was makdish a field to the Bedek Abayis. He gives it mamish hektish, not cheirim lekohanim. He gives it mamish to the Bedek Abayis. So that sounds like a real stay hektish. So Rashi says, no, also not good. You know why? Because what happens to a stay hektish? What is supposed to happen? Immediately what happens? It's redeemed right away. Now how is it redeemed? By who is it redeemed? So multiple ways of redeeming. Who remembers Pashto Hekosai? Either the owner can redeem it, that would be great. Or if the owner does redeem it, what happens? Someone else buys it off of Hektish. And then, by the way, when Yovel comes, what happens to it? It goes back. Goes back to who? It goes all, not to the original owner, goes back to the Kohanim, who happened to be lucky out that it was their Mishpah in the Yom Kippur Shul Yovel. So says Rashi, well, it's never going to be Hektish. If you're Makdish at Lechayim, it goes to the Kohanim right away. If you're Makdish at Medikabayis, that day the Medikabayis turns it over and either gives it back to you to redeem or gives it to somebody else. Even so, there's no such thing. It's a Hektish. It just doesn't exist. It's not on the radar screen. But then, if Rashi would just stop then, I would have said, okay. Rashi is assuming that the basic Mikdash of Gizbar is functioning properly. What if it's a legal holiday and it's not a business is closed? It's Washington's birthday or something. So the Gizbar is not in town today. Rashi somehow, you know, has to address that. So Rashi does that also. Rashi says, maybe what we're talking about is is that I was makdish by field for the Beis Mikdash for Stifah Bedik Abayis, and they didn't get around to being putted for yet. It's possible. So maybe that's the Stay Hekdesh Amur Bahalocha. Rashi says, no, that can't be the case. Why? No, that would be covered by the rule of Ein Me'ila Bekakos. So that's, what's that a classic example of? A true statement. Not only irrelevant, we don't have a clue what Rashi's talking about. Rashi says, let me explain to you why this is not the case. Because even if them to learn that I was makdish in the Beis Mikdash didn't get around to do anything with it, this is, don't bother me, says Rashi, because there's a cloud called Ein Me'ila Bekakos. Now, if it happens to be true that there's a cloud called Ein Me'ila Bekakos, the person uses the Sodei Hekdesh, it's not going to be a Karmila, why does it have to do with anything? Why is that even, we're not learning Sekhas Me'ila now, why is that a relevant piece of information? Oh, I know you guys are all thinking. You guys are all thinking, well, second, the Mishnah said, what is the criteria for whether you chayev mazik or not? What does it say? Huh? If there's me'ila, then you potter for mazik. If there's no me'ila, then you chayev for mazik. Right? That's what the Mishnah said. Nechasim she'ein b'me'ila. So Zok Rashi, this sadeh shel hekdesh, there's no me'ila on it. Even al atzad that it's hekdesh and it wasn't redeemed yet, lemais, everyone agrees. The Mishnah says me'ila, there's ein me'ila b'kakos. So since there's no me'ila on it, halachically, it's treated not as a sadeh shel hekdesh, but rather a sadeh shel what? If there's no me'ila, what is it? Then it's hedyah, right? That's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says that yesh me'ila potter benezek, ein me'ila chayav benezek. Isn't that what the Mishnah said? Didn't it say that explicitly? So Rashi makes a cheshbon and says, the only possible crazy wild scenario of a quote-unquote Sadeh Hekdesh that could exist is a field that was dedicated to Beis HaMikdash, wasn't yet redeemed, so it's wearing the hat of Hekdesh. Rashi says, no, it's not. This is not a Sadeh Hekdesh. This is, there is a Chiyuv of Mazik in this, because this is the classic Ein Me'ila, Ein Me'ila Chayav Benezek. That's a simple reading of Rashi, right? So that's what the Maharshal, the Yamsha Shlomo ben Kamer, learns. That's what Rashi was driving at. That's what Rashi meant to say. That the absence of me'ila creates a chiyuv of mazik, and that's why the Gemara didn't bother mentioning it. The Gemara involved is looking for a case of being potter, is looking for a case of sadeh shel hekdesh. There's no case; it doesn't exist because every sadeh shel hekdesh, even if it's really hekdesh, apidin v'nezik is not really hekdesh because amen me'ila. Ad kan divrei Maharshal b'das Rashi. So most of the later Acharim write that this is not the correct pshat in Rashi. This cannot possibly be the correct pshat Rashi. What's wrong with this pshat, Rosa? What's the deficiency of this pshat?
That's what he meant. You only had to say the last part.
That's also true, right? He could have only said the last part. That's true. But I want more halachic concern. There's something really, really bothering about this pshat, Rosa. What did the Mishnah say? Yesh me'ila potter nezek, ein me'ila chayav nezek. Can somebody tell me what in the world me'ila has to do with anything? The presence or absence of me'ila is the mechayev of nezek? What is me'ila? A what? A what or a what? It's a sibba. It's not a sibba. It's not because there's me'ila, therefore you're part of nezek. Me'ila is a barometer. Me'ila is a way to measure whether something is kadosh or not. Because 9 out of 10 times, dvarim kadoshim have me'ila, and non-dvarim kadoshim don't have me'ila. So if you want to know whether there's going to be a chayev of mazik, learn mesechas me'ila. When Me'ila applies, Bevakamah doesn't apply. And when Me'ila doesn't apply, then Bevakamah doesn't apply. It's not an absolute statement because, quite frankly, the absence of presence of Me'ila is not the Gairim, that's not the engine. It's simply a proof, a simon of the Hekdesh existence or not. So therefore, all the other Chorim jump into Marshal and say, it's true that Ein Me'ila B'Kakos, I'm not questioning Ein Me'ila B'Kakos. That is correct, that is accurate, Ein Me'ila B'Kakos. But what? But so what? Ein Me'ila B'Kakos. The Ein Me'ila B'Kakos doesn't detract from the Kedusha Bud. If I have a Dover Shal Karka that happens to be Hekdesh, and it happens not to be Me'ila on it, it's one iota less Hekdesh? No. The fact that there's no Me'ila is exerts a cost of Inuchas Me'ila. It doesn't impact on the degree of Kedusha Shabbat. And therefore, it's a quirk of Ein Me'ila B'Kakos, but that's not a reason to be Mechayev Yuhan Mazik. So therefore, this is probably not what Rashi meant. Chiyus Kav the Hilgim Arshal. This is a very, very difficult pshat. So what did Rashi mean with this cryptic statement of Ein Me'ilah B'Kakos? So what other Achronim write is Rashi meant as follows. Since there's Ein Me'ilah B'Kakos, therefore you see that the Torah doesn't make you pay for, I don't even know what the next word is supposed to be. The Torah doesn't make you pay different kinds of payments involving Karka of Hekdesh. So therefore, the Torah will never make you pay for what? For being Mazik Karka of Hekdesh. Just as Ein Me'ilah B'Kakos, so to Ein Mazikin B'Karka Shel Hekdesh as well. That's what Rashi was writing. Rabbi say, if that's the Pshat in Rashi, then what don't we understand? What in the world is the connection between the two? Mazik is one halacha, that's Maseches Bavakama. Me'ilah is another halacha, that's Maseches Me'ilah. Why in the world should the absence of having to make restitution for Me'ilah and Karka have any impact on whether you have to make restitution for being Mazik Karka? So this Pshat is also almost impossible to understand. So Rabbi said, we are 0-2 today in Rashi, and I am sorry to report I don't have a third Pshat. I don't understand the Rashi. I don't understand what is Rashi driving? What is this impact? What does Me'ilah do with anything? If Rashi meant this as a proof there for Yechayah, that's a pillar for him to say like that. If Rashi meant this as a reason to say a potter, it's right to pillar for him to say like that. Mm-hmm. So the whole last two lines of Rashi, I don't understand what is Rashi gaining by invoking that sugya, baby, because it's true but irrelevant. What does that have to do with that parasha? So I don't understand. It's a very, very difficult Rashi. I don't have a good working shot in this Rashi.
Doesn't the Maharshal do a very good job of answering up why the Mishnah says an Elah versus Hekdesh? Because I thought it would be a lot simpler if the Mishnah had said
Hekdesh versus Hekdesh.
Yeah.
Right, but the problem is that the Gemara later on Daf Yabez, which we're probably not going to get to this month, seems to say that the reason why the Mishnah picked on Me'ilah was because it was interested in addressing the issues of Kashim Kalam and Rabbi Yosef Gulim and Bailam for half dozen other reasons, not the way the Maharshal presented. So when all the dust settles over by side, except according to Rabbi Yeshaya, the din is Mazik Hekdesh's potter. And the din of Mazik Hekdesh's potter crossed the board of Mazikin. What the source is, Rashi had a simple pshat, which is difficult. Tosfos had a very, very complicated pshat, but at least it answered all the questions. The Rashi in the second pshat quotes a pshat that we b'chlal don't understand. So we have a lot of ambiguity here. A lot of loose threads in the sugya, but the driving force of the entire sugya is most probably that Mazik Hekdesh is in fact potter. Okay, good. Anyone have any last questions? That was a short sugya, very, very short sugya. Everyone ready to move on? Okay. Next sugya is not actually.